Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The town of Linfield is considering a ban on short-term home rentals, often booked through websites like Airbnb and HomeAway. Selectmen are thinking about changing the town's bylaws after a man was fatally shot during a party at a rented mansion earlier this year. HomeAway, which sponsored the listing involved, did not return requests for comment. Airbnb did not comment specifically about Linfield, but it did send a statement saying that the company is, quote, dedicated to working with governments and local lawmakers to develop rules for home sharing that work for our community. The statement also says that Airbnb is committed to safety. Several Massachusetts communities are weighing restrictions on short-term rentals, including Cambridge, Hull, and West Newbury. For more on this, we're joined by Troy Flanagan. He's Vice President of State and Local Government Affairs with the American Hotel and Lodging Association. Welcome, Troy.
Hi, Deborah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Also with us, Tim Twardowski. He's an attorney with the Boston firm Robinson & Cole. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And I want to invite our listeners into this conversation as well. We're asking, do you use sites like Airbnb or HomeAway when you travel, or do you use them to maybe make some extra rental money? Do your neighbors rent out their homes or apartments? And should these rentals be more regulated? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So, Tim, I want to start with you. What do you think of the restrictions that are being proposed in Linfield?
Well, I would call them perhaps some of the most strict and most prohibitive that we've looked at. Robinson & Cole is a national consultant, a land use consultant for the National Association of Realtors, and we've done a considerable amount of research on short-term rentals on their behalf since about 2010. And as part of that, we've looked at short-term rental regulations across the country, and the type of prohibitive across-the-board ban that Linfield is proposing here is among the most severe that we've encountered. Typically, most regulations seek to control the potential neighborhood impacts or effects of short-term rentals, but an outright ban throughout residential districts is extremely rare.
Well, you know, the folks in Linfield say that their town bylaws already do not allow short-term rentals. And so essentially what they're doing is clarifying what their bylaws already say. And we spoke with the chair of the Board of Selectmen in Linfield, Phil Crawford, earlier today, and I want to just play a little bit of tape from our conversation. Let's listen.
The main purpose is public safety. And there's no control over the usage of the house. We are told by the owner that this house was being rented by 20 people for a reunion. And that's not even close to the truth of what actually happened. The fact that a party of 200 to 300 people was brought to that house and it was loud and it was a lot of inner city people that came out to Linfield without anyone's knowledge, and the party obviously got out of hand and there was a fatal shooting.
Well, that's Phil Crawford. He's chair of the Board of Selectmen in Linfield. I'm wondering, Tim, what do you say to him? He says, look, we've got a public safety issue here and we already have bylaws that prohibit this. We just need them to be more specific.
Right. First, with respect to the public safety issue, you know, obviously the incident that took place this summer is tragic, and you know, that's something that, you know, city officials and residents have a right to be concerned about. But I think what the city officials are overlooking is the question as to the connection between the incident and the fact that this was a short-term rental. You know, it's entirely possible that the same circumstances could have taken place at a party being held by the owner of a property. You know, it's not uncommon for owners of large properties to have birthday parties or family reunions or other types of reunions or parties that bring together large amounts of people. And what the town of Linfield is proposing to do here would do nothing to address those types of large gatherings at owner-occupied properties.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to get Troy Flanagan in here. And I also want to remind listeners that we are talking about possibly regulating short-term rentals like those on Airbnb and HomeAway. And we're asking you, Do you use sites like Airbnb and HomeAway? Do you rent property on these sites? Do you think more regulation is needed? And after this incident, this violent incident where someone was fatally shot in Linfield, do you think that there are public safety concerns that officials need to address? You can join the conversation by calling us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Troy Flanagan, these proposals to increase regulations in Linfield on short-term rentals. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it illustrates what we're seeing is with the rise in popularity of sites like Airbnb and HomeAway and their competitors is a need for more data transparency from those website platforms so that communities such as Linfield can enforce the laws that are already on the books or think about whether they need to update their laws.
So data transparency would do what exactly, do you think?
Well, I think it allows, you know, if a community has said, you know, we don't think that a nightly rental year-round is an appropriate use of a residential home or apartment or condo, and they have zoning laws in place for that or restrictions such as Linfield has, that data would allow the community to know whether their laws are being violated, and also to have a better grasp of the volume of this activity taking place in their community and whether they need to revisit those regulations.
Mm. Now, Tim, you mentioned that you're studying this right now, and you did a paper for the National Association of Realtors. I'm wondering how exactly you assess what's happening here and what's going on in a town, and certainly words matter, and things have changed since we can advertise properties online. How exactly do you measure what's going on, how this affects an economy, how many people are taking advantage of these things, and then, of course, that question of public safety?
Right. Well, I mean, as a practical matter, we're very active in monitoring, you know, through news feeds, through our, you know, from our own library resources, et cetera, you know, what's going on, whether it's at a state level or a local level in terms of proposed legislation or, you know, proposed ordinances, similar to what Linfield and other communities that, like you've mentioned earlier, in Massachusetts and elsewhere across the country, what they're doing. You know, we keep an eye on the trends in terms of what the communities are doing in response to, as you said, you know, Airbnb and HomeAway, these online hosting platforms have grown in tremendous numbers just over the last few years. So, you know, we've noticed that difference just since we really started actively tracking these types of ordinances in about 2010. You know, things have changed in terms of some of the regulatory approaches, as well as you know, how things are literally being done by these online hosting platforms. It's made it a lot easier for a homeowner to you know, to get some supplemental income through renting out their home on a short-term basis. It's an industry that's growing and changing at a very rapid pace.
If it's easier for a homeowner to, say, sublet and make some money on renting their property, does that affect the housing market and the economy long term?
That's the position that some communities have taken. Mm-hmm. I think New York City is one example where some of the governmental officials have taken the position that one of the reasons why they need to regulate short-term rentals is that the, you know, the amount of rental housing stock in the city is limited. And what in some cases they're seeing happen is you have property owners who are taking units, rental units, out of the long-term rental market and changing over to short-term rental market in order to get additional revenue. Now, I think there's a distinction to be made between certain types of, you know, large volume short-term rental owners where you have, whether it's an individual or a company who is literally buying up large amounts of rental properties for the purpose of converting from long-term rental to short-term rentals, mm. And using that as basically a source of income, as opposed to the vast majority of short-term rental property owners who maybe have a second home and they just rent it out from on a periodic basis, you know, a small number of times a year, in order to gain some additional revenue to help with mortgage payments and upkeep, et cetera. You know, there's a strong distinction between commercial entities buying up short-term rentals and a homeowner who's just looking to supplement income.
Okay, we're going to talk about regulation more in just a moment. I want to make sure we get some callers in the conversation as well. Kathy is calling from Wellesley. Kathy, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me. My family and I, between buying and selling a house, used Airbnb several times, actually. And primarily things were good, but in one case, the owner left a filthy house. I mean, it was dust thick, half an inch dust. You know, it was really unbelievable, with some kind of stuffed bird in the top of the second floor with dust covering it. So I got the name of the owner because he left it on his refrigerator door, and I called him, and he said, "Well, your husband looks to be Asian, is that right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I hear Asians do a really great housekeeping job, I can give you some money off your rental if you'd clean it for me."
Yikes.
And that was one thing. And the second thing was, one home that we rented smelled so bad of some kind of like urine type smell that I couldn't stay there.
So you think there should be more regulations on short-term rentals on sites like Airbnb and HomeAway then, Kathy, am I right?
Yeah, and you know, I think there should be regulation, and my suggestion to Airbnb after those two experiences was that someone like myself, you know, someone that rents or that could have a job going around inspecting these properties, so that, you know, there's not a bad smell or the things you can't see, like lots of dust in a photo that, you know, because you don't go there, you have to see them online, so you're at a disadvantage.
All right, Kathy, thanks very much for the call. Troy Flanagan, I'm wondering, do you hear about this a lot, and what are some of the ways that you think these properties need to be more regulated?
Well, I think the distinction, and it's actually one that Tim made, is that there is a big difference between folks who do occasionally rent out their space or part of their space when they're either there or if they've left for a few days at a time, versus those folks that are really making a business out of this and who have effectively decided they want to be commercial lodging operators and have bought multiple units. So there's a big distinction there. I think the other point, which is kind of to the caller's question, is that there does need to be some type of way that the jurisdiction, whether it's Linfield or City of Boston, ensures that the traveling public who has, you know, made a decision to come to this area, whether for business or pleasure, has an experience that meets their expectations, so that they don't leave with a bad taste in their mouth, not only about that property but about the whole city. So there's that effect on the Convention and Visitors Bureau type economic impact that I think is important. But mm-hmm. I think the main thing is that distinction between the occasional sharing economy type rental versus folks who are really abusing the system.
Right. Well, some folks might argue, you know, how do you ensure now that the public has an experience that meets their expectations? I mean, do you feel that right now there are enough regulations on hotels and other sort of commercial properties that would ensure that experience for the public?
Well, I think there's certainly rules and regulations and inspections that have been put in place for various reasons over the decades, so that not only the traveling public but the community and the residents around where those regulated hotels and inns are located know what they're expecting. So when someone decides they want to open a small bed and breakfast in a residential historic community, they go through a zoning process so that the community can decide whether that's an appropriate use, whether they want different nightly guests on their block, and the community has the opportunity to decide. With what we're seeing with the rise of short-term rentals through these new online platforms, that decision is being taken away from the community.
Tim, what do you say to that? Local decision-making here is lost, and I also want to bring up something that our caller Kathy mentioned as well. But first, let's go to local decision-making. How is or is not this affected when short-term rentals are allowed to be individually run by property owners?
Well, I mean, I think the fact of the matter is, the legislative process does work, and there is input. Using Linfield as the example, in this case, you know, the proposal is for an outright ban, but in most cases, these short-term rental regulations that are being adopted across the country are mostly operational type restrictions in terms of, minimum requirements for, facilities and things of that nature, but also, getting into registration requirements, requiring that the property owners register the unit with the city. Part of that has to do with, the city's ability to track these types of units, and it can also be important for taxation purposes. I mentioned the Massachusetts bill that, sought to impose an excise tax on the state level and create a local option to do likewise. So a registration type requirement, is an alternative that doesn't go nearly so far as what Linfield proposes to do.
Also, Kathy, our caller, brought up a really interesting point that I wanted to get to. She said she had some complaints about some of the places that she rented.
Right.
What do you do about that, and where does a community come in terms of liability for that, and not just for the people who might be renting short-term, but also for the property owner? I know I've read horror stories of people who have rented out their property, and of course they get it back, and there's a ton of damage. I mean, how do you make sure that both sides are protected?
Right, and that's a difficult balance to strike, quite frankly. I don't think there are any guarantees, regardless of what type of regulations are in place. I mean, I think it's fair to say that people have negative experiences with licensed hotels or motels, and those types of lodgings across the country. So, that's not an issue that's specific to short-term rentals. That's industry-wide throughout the travel industry, and folks who travel, everybody. Has a story about where they stayed and whether it was a positive experience or a negative one. In terms of the complaints, what is the short-term rental tenant to do, when they wind up in that type of situation? I'm sure the various lodging hosts, whether it's a hotel or an Airbnb rental or bed and breakfast, they have, hopefully through the lease agreements, they have standards and processes in place where the person can make a complaint. That's not to say that they're going to get the outcome that they're hoping for, but also that's the type of thing that sometimes is directly regulated through short-term rental regulations. In some cases, there's a requirement that that these hosts actually have an online or a local person who can respond to complaints within a certain time frame. Usually what we'll see is, they have to be able to respond within 1 hour or 3 hours or the like. So that puts the burden back on the property owner in the event that there's a complaint, whether it's from the tenant or from a neighbor, to say, this is what's happening and these are the circumstances at this rental property, and we're unhappy and something needs to be done.
I want to get to some of our callers just briefly here because we're going to run out of time soon. Mike is calling from Boston. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that the way these sites work, like Airbnb and VRBO, is that you are allowed to review a previous renters at locations and get an idea of what you're getting into. If you don't do your homework, you're not going to get the kind of place that you want. And by doing this, by checking on what's going, what other people have said, I mean, you don't need regulation.
Okay, I want to talk with Troy Flanagan about that. Troy, your response?
I would just say that the hotel industry is not regulated on an honor system or a review system. It sounds great in theory, and there certainly are a lot of travel websites that allow guests to rate their experience, but that doesn't completely cut the community out of the equation, whether it's health inspections or requiring commercial insurance or commercial liquor license. There's a lot of things that go into ensuring a safe experience for the traveling public beyond just having a good review.
Mm. Well, I want to thank both of you. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I'm sure we'll talk about this again as we continue to make our way through this sharing economy, as it's called now. Troy Flanagan, Vice President of State and Local Government Affairs at the American Hotel and Lodging Association. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Also, Tim Twardowski, counsel at Robinson & Cole, a Boston-based law firm. Thanks to you as well.
Thank you, Deborah.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.